Just like the New York Yankees, we are ready for a brand new season of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We have a lot of catching up to do, so let's get right into it. You know, I'm so excited for this episode. We're not even going to go to our normal intro. We're going to jump right back into it. Hello, everybody. My name is Nick Delahanty. I am the proud host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. You know, it's been quite a while since our last episode, and of course, we love talking about Yankees baseball, and, you know, life gets in the way. Things happen, life is busy, but we are proud to say we are back. And so are the New York Yankees, winners of two of their first three games against the San Francisco Giants to kick off the 2023 season. You know, I feel like we're old friends and we have a lot of catching up to do. So, let's start right into it. Let's go into the offseason. The big thing of the offseason was the re-signing of Aaron Judge. And I got to tell you, watching opening day, I was getting some bad thoughts about seeing Judge lining up as a San Francisco Giant. Fortunately, that did not happen. Judge comes back to the Yankees. They name him the captain, the first captain since Derek Jeter. And how does he start his Yankee captaincy? Hey, an Aaron Judge way, right? Home run in his first at bat, the first swing he actually took of the 2023 season. Judge is in line for another monster year. Hopefully, he could stay healthy. The other big move of the offseason was the addition of Carlos Rodon. And we're going to have to wait a little bit to see him actually in action. But, you know, over time, I'd much rather have him healthy for the stretch run than anything. He is a left-handed pitcher that I feel slides right into the Yankees rotation very nicely. You know, you have Gerrit Cole at the top, but let's be real. A lot of questions after that. What is Nestor Cortez going to be after his brilliant year last year? What are you going to get out of a Luis Severino who's currently injured, or a Domingo Herman, or a Johnny Brito who we saw on Sunday in the series finale? There's a lot of question marks surrounding that Yankees rotation, and Rodon kind of checks some of those boxes off. He's one of those guys that, you know, when he's healthy, you can rely on to go out and take the ball every fifth day and give you some quality work. So I think that the Yankees made some nice moves this offseason to shore up some of those things. But going into spring training, the one big question mark was, of course, what was going to happen at shortstop. And Anthony Volpe comes in and he wins the job and forces the Yankees' hand to actually put him on the big league roster to start the year. Now, I get it. You want to make sure you take your time with your prospects. They need seasoning. I totally understand that. But in this case, and we've seen it in the past before where the Yankees try to, you know, slowly bring up their guys and let them develop, it doesn't always pan out. Let's be real. What happened to Davey Garcia? You know, the list could go on and on of guys that we talk about that didn't pan out. Volpe's 21 years old. He grew up in New Jersey, dreamed of being the Yankee shortstop. Now, he has the opportunity, and right away, he's relishing it. You know, he's doing all the right things. His first roll call where he kisses the Yankee emblem on his jersey. You know, he's talking to the media, and everything he says is a lot more mature than you would think a 21-year-old is. And then you look at the performance. The guy's a menace on the base paths. And I was there on Sunday afternoon, and I could tell you firsthand, that guy can move, and he causes a lot of distractions for the pitcher. There's a lot to love about this kid's game. And I think that if you're the Yankees, him winning the job was probably the best thing that could have happened to you. First of all, the youth injection that him and Oswaldo Cabrera bring. You know, it is a boost that this team desperately needs. And then you look at the potential. They talk about, you know, the last time the Yankees had a shortstop start so young on opening day was Derek Jeter. Nobody's saying this kid has to be his idol in Derek Jeter. Everybody just wants him to be Anthony Volpe. And what I think is that over time, we're going to see him develop into one of the best players in the game. And then you look at it from a bigger picture. You still have Peraza. Gleyber Torres is handling second base for now. And yeah, you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching. Aaron Boone's going to use DJ LeMahieu all over the field. First base, second base, third base. Cabrera, who I mentioned earlier, going to see time in a lot of different spots. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who was the starting shortstop last year, probably gets bumped to a utility role where most of his innings come in center field. This team has a lot of moving parts, and I think that they're built better to succeed because of that. Yes, you want to avoid the injury bug, and obviously, You know, you really can't control that. That's a part of the game. But if you could keep guys fresh throughout the year and not tax them by playing every day, it could go a long way in sustaining not only success, but your health as well. And then, of course, before we get into anything else, I got to tell you, Sunday at the stadium was very eye-opening for me. Yeah, you could tell the differences in the rules that they implemented over the offseason by watching at home. But when you're in person watching a game, it makes all the difference. Let's start with the pitch clock. I was never a fan of 3.5 to 4 hour long games. I never was. I never will be. This pitch clock is probably the best thing that baseball has done in quite some time. Pitchers and hitters aren't allowed to take their grand old time, you know, doing what they got to do. And the bigger bases and these new rules with the pickoff moves, it helps add speed to the game. For so long, we relied on the home run ball, home run and strikeout, home run and strikeout. And it became boring. As somebody who loves the game, and I know that if you're listening to this show, you do as well, it got boring. But seeing a guy like Anthony Volpe taking a lead and trying to get the pitcher to throw over so he has the upper hand on that third time that if he doesn't get him, he gets a base. Or he just flat out steals the base and forces the other team to, you know, worry about him. There's so much that these new rules put into play, and I feel like it's going to make managing that much tougher because your time constraint. You can't take your grand old time figuring out what pitch Garrett Cole's going to throw to Rafael Devers in the seventh inning of a 1-0 game. You're not going to be able to mix and match and throw over five times to keep a guy at first base with Billy Hamilton speed. A guy like that's going to torment you. So there's a lot of different elements to this, and I think it's going to be fun for fans to watch. And I love the fact they got rid of the shift. I'm okay with guys being able to move around the diamond. I'm cool with that. But the overshift just made the game even more boring because you had guys like Rizzo, you had guys like Joey Gallo hitting right into the shift, and it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the game at all. So I think that from watching a game both on TV and both live, I really do give Major League Baseball an A-plus on this because games are moving faster. There's much more excitement. Fans are staying locked in. It's a lot easier to lock into a three-hour game than it is for a four-and-a-half-hour game. And of course, you're going to have games where it's a slugfest and offenses take control and the games take a little longer than anticipated. But for now, I think the move is great. You're going to see these guys adjust in no time because, let's remember, they're athletes, and we're going to see how it plays out. Now let's get back to the Yankees for a little bit. Let's start with Aaron Hicks, who has one at-bat through three games. Seems like he's the fifth outfielder at this point, given that Kiner Falefa played center field in the series finale against the Giants. Hicks is obviously not happy, but in the same token, I do feel that Aaron Boone is making the right decision going with Cabrera in left field. I think this kid needs every day at-bats. And yeah, Hicks has some qualities about him that are good. He's good defensively. You know, he has a strong arm. He does have a little pop, but he has been rather disappointing since signing that big contract to the point where, you know, does he really deserve to be on the field every day? And for his $10 million contract, you could say, yeah, sure, you know, he should be. But at the end of the day, I want to see the Yankees put the best nine players on the field. And right now, I don't think he falls under that category. Will he play? Obviously, he's going to get his time. You know, eventually he will. But I do like how Aaron Boone is going with the youth early, especially going with Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield a couple of days a week as well. Get his legs moving. Keep him healthy. You know, this is the same guy that in Miami was slugging home runs playing the field every day. Don't tell me he can't lock in and play a little right field maybe once or twice a week. You know, I won't believe it. The other guy that, you know, frustrates me that he has to be in the lineup is Josh Donaldson. But at least you could make the point that, you know, he works pitches. He does have a little pop in his bat. Aaron Boone keeps raving about how he's in a good place and how he expects a bounce back year. And defensively, he's no slouch at third base. Made up a couple of nice plays over the weekend. He's a guy that, you know, for his price tag, he's going to play. And ultimately, if he does struggle, I do think that Aaron Boone will say, you know what? We have to win ball games. I have to put the best nine out there possible. and we'll see what happens. But I do think there's a lot of moving parts. The way I see LeMahieu playing, I see him playing once at first every week, maybe 2 to 3 times at second, another 1 or 2 at third, and then you give guys rest. You saw Gleyber Torres DHing early on, see Giancarlo Stanton getting a DH game, things like that. So if you're the Yankees, you do have the moving parts and you have the flexibility. It's just a matter of, until you start to get fully healthy, you know, you get a guy like Bader back, some of your pitchers get back, then you're going to see how this team really shapes up. But overall, if you're a Yankees fan, you have to look at the first couple of games and you have to say to yourself, this team has something that the last couple of teams didn't necessarily have. They have a mix of speed, a mix of youth, the bullpen. Yeah, there's no marquee names out there. Jonathan Loaisiga is a marquee name if you want to make him one. But it's a bunch of guys that throw hard, could throw strikes, and could get the job done. There's no more Aroldis Chapman. There's no more Zach Britton. There's no more Chad Green. But you have guys that are capable veterans and some young guys that could get the job done. Tommy Canley re-signed over the offseason. He'll be back shortly. You have Lou Trevino back, hopefully in the near future. Plus, you look at Rob Marinaccio, who through the first couple of games was the Yankees' best reliever. So you're going to have a mix and match of guys, and you're going to see guys come up and down throughout the year because this team's going to mix and match, and they have the ability to mix and match. If they need a veteran reliever at the deadline, they have enough assets to go get one. Will they need one? Who knows? Depends on how the starting pitching holds up. But at the end of the day, you look at this bullpen, and you have to see a lot of promise. The only question that I really have is who ultimately becomes the closer. Clay Holmes looked really bad in Game 2 against the Giants. He looked really bad. Could have been the cold, could have been a little bit of rust, you know. But in general, he didn't look great. Left a lot of room for desire. Is Loaisiga your closer? Is Marinaccio your closer? Do you stick with Holmes? Or do you go by committee? Time's going to only tell. But if I was a betting man right now, it looks like Aaron Boone's going to go by matchups. You might see Wandy Peralta in the ninth if there's a tough lefty coming up. Or you might see Marinaccio go for 2 innings like he did on opening day to close out the game. There's a lot of moving parts, especially on the defensive side of things, that this team has versatility. Now, I always ask myself this question early on in the season, and it's something that I always kick myself for because I feel like every time I ask the question, things go terribly wrong. And the question that I ask myself is, through the first series of the year, can I envision this year's team as a postseason, you know, favorite? Can I see them making the World Series? And as much as I want to say yes right now, I can't say yes right now because I need to see this team healthy. I need Severino back healthy. I need the two relievers I talked about. I need Rodon healthy. I need Aaron Judge and Stanton to stay healthy. Rizzo's back cannot flare up. There are so many elements that go along with this that we have to take it day by day. When this team is healthy, I think they have the pieces to do it. But the big if is whether or not they can, in fact, do it. And that's going to be the tale of the summer. Can they sustain it? Can they stay healthy? Can Boone manage his roster where these guys don't get worn out? And what's going to be when they potentially match up with the Astros again in the postseason? Is this the year they can finally take them down? Time will only tell. But we do have a long season ahead of us. And of course, we're going to provide you any updates that we can as it goes along. But as I was at Yankee Stadium, sitting there enjoying the New York air and the fresh crowd and everybody singing New York, New York as we exited the ballpark, I just had to jump back on and get a brief show for you out just to express not only how much I've missed Yankees baseball, but how much I've missed talking about Yankees baseball with you. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND and follow us on Instagram, Delahanty Media. We're expecting to put out new content at least once a week throughout the regular season. Ah, baseball is back. It is a beautiful thing. And we are so happy that our loyal fans are back listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty. I'm the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.